Hello, everyone. Welcome to Developing Palettes. I'm Aaron Lewis coming to you from the Drew Estate Studio. With me today is Seth Geist from the Bastani Studio, John McTavish, and from the Bronx Press Studio, June Liu. How are you guys doing today?
I don't know. I miss some big numbers, man.
Whoever's tuning into the start of the video, you're going to want to watch the entire thing. I guarantee this is going to be highly entertaining. So please don't tune out early because you're going to miss some good stuff.
If you watch Highclere Sinister, you have to watch that before watching this too. Because we talked about the. We'll get to it.
We'll get to it.
Same but not same.
Yeah. So today we are talking about the My Father Flor de las Antillas 10th anniversary. Cigar is a Toro Extra 6.5 inch by 52. Comes out of the My Father factory in Nicaragua. Blend is just listed as Nicaragua for wrapper, binder, filler. Price point is a measly $40. Cigar released in January of 2023. So with all that out of the way, June, why don't you take us through your experience with this cigar?
I thought the cigar flavors were really thin. I mean, it's like, okay, so to be nice, it's a smooth cigar, right? But the smoothness doesn't equate to really good flavors. Flavors are thin. It was really hollow. It was very light. So I got overall like a lot of generic notes of like cedar, cream sweetness. Got this like touch of effervescence to it. And the flavors in itself doesn't really work well. It's actually kind of weird. Like you're smoking this Toro, right? Or Toro Extra, I guess what they call it. And then you got this 52 degree gauge in your mouth and you're just blowing out billows of smoke that tastes like nothing. And you're like, what the fuck?
It's just massive. It's just like,
yeah. And I'm like, why? Yeah. It's a big, it's a Nicaraguan. But yeah, I didn't like it.
All right, Seth, what were your thoughts?
Yeah, listen, I didn't know that this was $40. So, June really captured it. It's like, the Flor de las Antillas flavor profile I always kind of thought was one of these flavor profiles that really didn't line up with what I thought My Father was all about. And I know that it got really high praise, so I think people are always like, oh yeah, but I'm like, I don't see it. Like, I just don't get it. There is this creaminess to it, but it's not like a sweet cream. It's not even like a sausage gravy cream. It's like there's just this creaminess with minerals and tobacco and leather and wood, and it's medium full to full. It's just, yeah, it's dry. It's like, it's just it's got a long finish for a little while. It's just kind of, yeah, it's a funky profile. It's a massive cigar and it's producing a ton of smoke, but there's not a huge amount of like flavors with it. And it's not what you would expect with it.
All right, John, what are your thoughts?
So a few disclaimers. One, I'm a huge My Father fanboy. Number two, I've smoked a lot of Flor de las Antillas because we sell them up in Canada and they're reasonably priced. They're one of the few cigars that kind of comes in a good price point. And I really like Flor de las Antillas. I like the profile. So I was looking forward to the review. I did not know the price tag like Seth until I started writing up the review. And as I was looking through the technical details, I went, is there a decimal place that got shifted? Oh my God. So with that said, the flavor profile started out promising the first third for me. It was creamy chocolate and wood and, you know, like cream and nuts, cream and chocolate, some really nice sweetness, some vegetal notes. And I was like, okay, this doesn't smoke like a regular Flor de las Antillas, but maybe they're going in a different direction because it's an anniversary series. And then the second third kind of started out with creamy chocolate. And then it was just like wood. And it kind of made me think like one of those times you're smoking a cigar for like an hour and someone comes up and they're like, how's that cigar? And you're like, I don't know. I'm not really paying attention anymore. And that's kind of where I was like, it's not bad, but I'm not really paying attention anymore. And that's what the last third was as well. I was like, it's not bad, but I'm smoking and I don't know what's going on. It's just not doing anything for me. The draw was perfect. The burn was almost perfect. I had a touch up in the second third, which, you know, whatever. But you know, it was like the Diet Coke of cigars. It was like just one calorie, not quite flavor enough. And I was just like, all right, Aaron, what about you?
Yeah, for me, the cigar started with musty toasted cedar and earth. Got some light creaminess joined in fairly quickly and a light coffee note a bit
did
later.
Did you pull up a picture?
I did. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Not even paying attention.
Yeah. A light floral note joined in at the end of the third, and then the second third saw the earth become a bit heavy and dry, and then a light black pepper joined a bit later, and a creamy coffee departed. Final third saw some wood bitterness join, and later a vegetal bitterness. I thought the cigar had a nice but fairly basic start in the first third, but by the second third, when the earth took the lead, it kind of dropped down a level and kind of maintained that the rest of the way. Like the guys have said, this is a very different blend than what you would expect from my father altogether for this line. Just wasn't in line, I think, with what's going on. You know, regular smokers of my father would smoke this and say, like, where's the pepper? Like, where's the pepper? You missed a main ingredient from this brand. But I'm okay with that kind of a profile change, drastic profile change from what a brand is known for, but the blend still has to be good and it still has to deliver something. But the high price point, the kind of mundane flavor profile after that first third, just not something I would come back to for this cigar. So, all right, let's get into the scores. We are going to start at the top with Seth at 6.35. June gave it a 6.1, and John and I both gave it a 6 even. So Seth, how'd that 6.35 matchup for you?
Yeah, I mean, that's a really generous 6.35.
You can go back and edit one of the scores, by the way.
No, if you like. I mean, I'll say this. It's, you know, my father, I think, and Tatuaje have been doing really well, and they're producing like a lot of really legit cigars that have scored well for us. And going into the cigar, I was like, man, I never was that crazy about Florida Los Antillas in general. But I was thinking, you know, maybe with how they've kind of turned things around in terms of tobacco and so forth, that they would, you know, make something really special. And they usually have with limited editions. But I just didn't find it with this. And I just think it was just kind of a blend that just wasn't really rocking it out. I'll say this though, it's better than some of their other stuff that they have crashed and burned on in the past. So I do think that they are having better tobacco. So I think that I'm going to make that theory to help my defense in some ways. But yeah, the $40, we'll get to that into the overall summary about the price on the cigar.
All right, June, 6.1. June.
Yeah, 6.1 is, I mean, realistically, guys, we all scored it very similar to each other, right? Yeah. We're 6.3 to what, right to at 6.
Yep.
Yeah. But yeah, it's a very average tasting profile. Highly disappointing, you know, just put the cigar back in the coffin, you know.
All right, John, 6 even.
Yeah, it's an average tasting profile with near perfect construction, and, you know, we'll get into the price, but I'm not sure that would be acceptable at a $15 price point. It's definitely not acceptable at a $40 price point. Not for me.
Yeah, my 6 even matches up with John. I mean, slightly above average flavor profile, really good construction, kind of gets to that 6 mark, but that 6 mark is not something that I'm going to typically want to smoke again and then add on that price point, and it's a cemented no. So, all right, final thoughts.
So, first of all, do you guys remember what the price was on the Le Bijou 1922 limited edition?
I was going to bring that up. I think they mixed up the price sheet with those two cigars. $13 yeah. Versus $40.
Yeah.
And that one was scored immensely higher by you guys than this cigar was.
And that's why, you know, I was looking it over, like, when we were going through the list, like, I didn't, you know, I'd see some prices and I knew that, you know, the High Clare was above this and that was like $33. And it was just because of different, you know, it's like, okay, I get it. But I didn't really look at like the My Father, and I wasn't even going to go over there because it's like, you know, the thought of this being $40 was just not where I thought it would be. Because I do remember that the My Father, that 100 was not this.
Yeah.
This is what happens when you get Cigar Aficionado number one cigar of the year, and then you get a 10-year. And you can... yeah, man. It's kind of... That's a weak 6.35. I mean, that's generous. I should have paid attention to that, because I do think honestly, if you're a customer, don't spend $40 on this cigar. Like, if message me and then we'll Facebook Live from the humidor and I'll tell you where to spend the extra money if you really can't choose anything over spending $40 over this.
Yeah, I mean, like the value scores on this, all of us are negative except for Seth, and Seth is 0.05 is his value score, so like just breaks even. So, you know, it's
so for people who don't know what the value score means, that means that my father would have to pay us per point to smoke this cigar because the value is in a negative.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
You'd have to give me the cigar and then you'd have to pay me to smoke it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know why it's so disappointing for me? When I graduated from smoking CI brands, I went to my father. That was one of the first brands I went to. And I have a really soft spot for that brand in general. So coming out with these like shitty anniversary, you know, cigars is just like, dude, what are you doing? Who did you see this?
I think that this would have been fine at the $18 mark. I think that totally is in line with the brand, sure. with the strategy of the brand. But over $35, like, I honestly had a moment where I'm like, you have lost your goddamn mind. Like, have you looked at the packaging of the Senator versus this? Like, it's a nice coffin, yes. But you're in Davidoff territory with a Florida Las Antillas. I just, like, I don't get that at all. Like, no offense to Florida Las Antillas. Like I said, I like them. But that is not in that price category. And for you to jump from, you know, a $9 cigar to $40 in a limited, like,
yeah, that's
holy
big.
Shit. I just worry that like somebody who's a really big Florida Las Antillas fan is going to go and shell out a bunch of money on this and they're going to be super disappointed, because I'm a Florida Las Antillas smoker and I was disappointed. And that would be like, if it was at $18, I'd be like, oh, well that sucked, but what are you going to do? But at 40, I'd be like, I'd be angry. I'd be like, what is, what?
Yeah,
baffling.
Exactly. All right, any other thoughts, or are we ready to put this one to bed?
Let's put it to bed.
All right.
Let's go hunting.
Wherever you're catching this video, be sure to like and subscribe, but check out the full written review on the website, developmentpalace.com. Follow us on all the social media channels, and you can catch all of our review recaps on podcasts. So iTunes, Google Play, and Podbean. Thank you for tuning in. We'll catch you on the next one.
40 Las Antillas.